ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः I just thought I'll do Aitareya Upanishad small but still significant one of the 10 major Upanishads whether it is Rigvedaha or Yajurvedaha Samavedaha Atharvavedaha any Veda consists of 4 portions Samhita portion Brahmanam portion Aranyakam and Upanishad Samhita Brahmanam Aranyakam and Upanishad we have 4 portions in every Veda the first portion of the Veda called Samhita mainly consists of the hymns in praise of Devatas Devata Aradhana Pradhana Sukta Vishayaka consists of the Suktams it's a glorification of Devatas like all the Suktams which you are already chanting all these Suktams we say when you chant a Suktam we say these Suktas are Veda Mantras Of course, Sukta is also Veda Mantras, but which part does it, well, does this Suktam belong to? The Suktam does not belong to Aranyakam or Brahmanam or Upanishad, but Suktams come, all the Suktams belong, Suktani belong to the first Samhita portion. Then second portion of the Veda, if you take Brahmana, Brahmanam, it's called Brahmanam, Brahmanani. So the Brahmana portion, if we take the Brahmana portion form the bulk, actually portion of the Veda, because they discuss all about the rituals, the performance of rituals, wherein the physical body is predominantly involved. So rituals performed in order to invoke the grace of different devatas and all the know-how of rituals, all these things are discussed in the Brahmana portion which form really the main bulk portion of the Veda. Then the third portion called Aranyakam, Aranyaka portion mainly discusses the meditations, upasanani. So karma pradhana bhagaha is called brahmanam, Upasana Pradhana Bhagaha is called Aranyakam. The predominantly meditations are discussed in the Aranyaka portion. Again, Aranyam means a forest, jungle. And mainly the people after going through Grihastha Ashrama, who entered into or who entered into already Vanaprastha Ashrama, who wanted to live away from, away in quiet places for, you know, to, for being in conducive atmospheres for meditations, they might have chosen, they would have chosen to live in the jungles. That's why the portions dealing with meditations, Upasanani, called Aranyakam. The last portion, which forms very, the thinnest portion of the, thinnest portion at the same time, concluding portion of the Veda, is called Upanishad. And here we have chosen the Aitareya Upanishad. And this Aitareya Upanishad belongs to Rigvedaha. You have studied many other Upanishads, some of you have studied Upanishads with me and have studied with other Swamis, Swamijis also. Like mainly we had, suppose, Krishna Yajurveda Upanishad, Shukla Yajurveda Upanishad, Atharvana Veda Upanishad, Samaveda Upanishad, so had it. But from Rigveda, we mainly studied, this is the only Upanishad. Of course, there's many other Upanishads, don't the only, these are the Upanishads, but from Rigveda, we study means definitely we do not miss, is the one which we should not miss, we do not miss is this Aitareya Upanishad. Rigvedaya Upanishad. There is also another Upanishad called Kaushitaki Upanishad from Rigveda, which is also equally important. And even though Kaushitaki is also important, but Shankara Bhagavatpada has written commentary only on this Aitareya Upanishad. He has not written commentary on Kaushitaki Upanishad. Even though Shankara Bhagavatpada has used that Upanishad, Kaushitaki Upanishad, in his commentaries, has quoted, he presents many quotations from Kaushitaki Upanishad. But if you see, but he has not written commentary on the Upanishad. That is why this Aitareya Upanishad is more popular from Rigveda than the Kaushitaki Upanishad. Not only that, if we take this Aitareya is counted, one of the 10 major Upanishads, they say. In fact, major Upanishads, minor Upanishads, there's no such difference really speaking. All the Upanishads are equally great, equally important, and equally reveal the same, one and the same message. They give the same vision. What is the vision? Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya. Jivaha naiva aparaha. Jivopi naiva aparaha. This is the vision of any Upanishad. All that is there is Brahman. Brahman is the only truth. Anything other than Brahman or is what you, the perceptible world is mithya. And every individual is potentially divine. In fact, nothing none other than Brahman. Jivaha, jivopi naiva aparaha. Even jiva, the individual, is non-separate from nothing other than Brahman. This is the vision of any Upanishad. Therefore, all the Upanishads reveal the same vision. All are equally important. But why do we, so many Upanishads are there? And why only 10 are called major Upanishads? Because these 10 Upanishads, the mantras from 11 Upanishads alone are taken for discussion, for analytical study by Vyasa Bhagavan, Vyasacharya, in his Brahma Sutras. See, Brahma Sutrani the analytical study of the Upanishad mantras. If at all we want to arrive at the vision of any Upanishad, if we study the Upanishads independently, we can never arrive at the vision of the Upanishads. Why? Because in every Upanishad, in any Upanishad, mantras do not present the vision systematically, do not present the teaching systematically. The mantras are really scattered all over. Of course, they give. Content is from the Upanishads, but still they do not give, you can't directly, just by studying Upanishads independently, can't arrive at the vision. The mantras need to be presented systematically, and they have to be present again, explained, elucidated, only then you can arrive at the vision. Therefore, Vyasacharya, Vyasa Bhagavan has really presented, taken the mantras from these 10 Upanishads. Isha, Kena, Kata, Mundaka, Mandukya, Aitareya, Taittiriya, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka. All these 10 Upanishads has taken mantras and he has analyzed the mantras, thoroughly analyzed and clearly presented. That is why Brahma Sutrani is said to be the basic Vedantic text. So even the Advaita vision is not created by Vyasa Bhagavan. It has been there timelessly. It's a timeless fact and timeless vision which has been revealed in timeless scriptures, Vedanta. So Vyasa Bhagavan presented this Upanishadic vision clearly, analyzing the mantras in his Brahma Sutras, and Adishankara Bhagavat Pada has elucidated what Vyasa Bhagavan has already presented in his commentaries. So Shankara Bhagavat Pada has chosen to write commentary on these 10 Upanishads because Shankara Bhagavat Pada's commentary will help us understand the Brahma Sutra. It is not possible to understand Brahma Sutras. See, without the Brahma Sutra and understanding of Brahma Sutras, you cannot have the vision of the Upanishads. And to understand Vyasa Bhagavan's commentary, the Brahma Sutra analytical study, you need the commentary on Upanishads. So Shankara Bhagavat Pada has written commentary on these 10 Upanishads. Not that he want to avoid other Upanishads, only take this. Why he did it? Because he wanted to help us understand Vyasa Bhagavan's teachings. But one Upanishad he left, this Kaushitaki Upanishad from Rigveda, Shankara Bhagavat Pada omitted, not purposely, simply he left it. But still he uses that. In his commentaries, he quotes a lot from that Upanishad. But Vyasa Bhagavan used that also. So totally, Vyasa Bhagavan used 11 Upanishads. As taken the mantra of 11 Upanishads. So if you know the 11 Upanishads, then thoroughly, then you can understand Vyasa Bhagavan, how he has analyzed the mantras, how he has presented them systematically, how he made it very clear will be clear. That is why they are called 10 major Upanishads. Not the others are not minor or anything. Once you understand these 10 Upanishads, in the light of the knowledge of these 10 Upanishads themselves, you can understand any Upanishad. You don't need commentary or anything else to understand other Upanishads. That is the idea. And here, this Aitareya Upanishad comes in, the very name tells you, you can make out. It belongs to Aitareya Upanishad, comes after what? If you see, there is a Aitareya, there's a portion of the Rigveda consisting of mantras revealed to the rishi called Aitareyaha. The name is after the Aitareya Rishihi. Of course, all of you know very well, Rishihi itself means Rishati Janati Iti Rishihi. The one who sees the truth, the one who sees the truth alone, one who knows, is Rishihi. And here the Rishi who got the mantras revealed to him is called Aitareyaha. And the mantras revealed to the Rishi Aitareya, coming as a part of the Rigveda, is called Aitareya Samhita, Aitareya Brahmanam, Aitareya Aranyakam, then Aitareya Upanishad. So Aitareya Upanishad comes following Aitareya Aranyakam. Aitareya Aranyakam comes after Aitareya Brahmanam. Aitareya Brahmanam comes after Aitareya Samhita. So all these four portions, you know, consisting of mantras revealed to the Rishi Aitareyaha. Therefore, this Upanishad is known after the Rishi, Rishihi Aitareyaha. This is one meaning. And if you say Aitareyaha is also means, why this Rishi is called Aitareyaha? Upanishad is called Aitareya Upanishad because it is revealed to the Rishi Aitareyaha. Why he is called Aitareyaha? Simple. Itarayaha aputraha, itarayaha apatyam puman Aitareyaha. The son of Itara is called Aitareyaha. We have lots of stories again. Today I can just tell you simple. Not very important, but still I tell you as part of the teaching. In Sanskrit language, you take the word itaraha. Itaraha means the other person. Not this person, the other one. You want to say itaraha. In feminine gender, itara. Not she, the other woman. You want to say itara, the other. Itara, itaraha, itaram, the other. So it means the other. So here itara happens to be a feminine gender word. We assume it must be meaning a woman. Itara mahila, itara stri, the other woman. So son of another woman means not the first wife. The mother must have been a second wife. So itarayaha apatyam puman, the son of the second wife, maybe he is called Aitareyaha. It's all given, okay, as details. Just to understand, not important details. You're all interested, no, all Brahma Vidya, not interested in itara, atara. But still I have to tell, I won't tell you. And another meaning also, itara also means avaidika. Vaidika mahila, stri, na vaidika, itara. Not a Vedic, a woman from a Vedic background, but a non-Vedic person, avaidika. Avaidika means, you know, we can say the person belonging to and the non-traditional, non-Vedic, which means this person, Rishihi, is son of a woman who belongs to an ordinary the woman, son of ordinary woman. I don't want to use the word low caste and all that. And here is a story. The story goes like this. You all must have heard in Bhagavata Puranam, there's a king called Uttanapadaha. And the king Uttanapada had two wives, Suruchihi and Sunitihi. And the Suniti had a son, but the king was supportive of his second wife Suruchi and her son. So this first son got really, you know, he felt let down. He was very up and sad. And the mother Suniti taught him, come on, don't worry about this king and this kingdom and all that. You pray to Bhagavan Narayana and he will appear in front of you and he will give you even the highest, the absolute end, even moksha, jnanam he will give you. Don't aspire for something temporary, time-bound ends. You aspire for something absolute, which everlasting end. So like that, the mother was source, great inspiration for that Suniti, the mother, was great inspiration for her son, Dhruvaha. In the same way, here, also the story goes very something like that. This mother, Itara, also was very supportive and great source of inspiration for this son. And he felt let down. It seems he was also ill-treated. And therefore, the mother prayed to Bhagavan, prayed and then begged the Lord to bless him with wisdom, which will make him the exalted human being. And it seems it worked, her prayer worked, and he became great Rishi. And after his name, we have Aitareya Aranyakam, Aitareya Brahmanam, Aitareya Samhita, Aitareya Upanishad. This is important thing. Therefore, which they say, this is how this Upanishad is known after Darishihi Aitareyaha, is Aitareya Upanishad. And this Aitareya Upanishad consists of three chapters. I said three chapters, don't think very big. Such a small book. You'll all get these books day after early morning, the books will arrive here. Okay, but tomorrow also I'll do the class without the book. Not with one paper I'll leave. So this is such a small book. How many mantras are there? Very, very few. Not many. So three chapters means the first chapter consists of three sections. Second chapter consists of only one section. Third chapter consists of one section. Totally there are only five sections. And each section is called Khandaha. And you know, so Adhyayatraye, you know, Pancha Khandaha. Five sections are there totally in three chapters. Very few mantras. We'll see that anyway. And if you ask, what does the first chapter reveal? The first chapter presents Srishti Prakaranam. You all know why Srishti is this. Prakaranam is there. Already you have studied many Upanishads. And Srishti Prakaranam can always be put to Adhyaropa Apavada method. You can say Adhyaropa Apavada method, Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, or Srishti Prakriya, or Prakaranam. Prakriya, feminine word. Prakaranam, neuter word. That's the difference. And here, how the Srishti is presented in this Upanishad? I always tell you in every class, in every Upanishad, the Srishti is presented completely differently. Because we never focus on Srishti. We are not interested in how this creation has come into existence. We are interested in knowing what is that truth of the whole. Therefore, using this prakriya, presenting the Srishtihi, using the Adhyaropa Apavada prakriya, the method of superimposition and negation, we are helped to arrive at the truth of the whole. But the Srishti here is very, very different and peculiar. It presents the different stages the jiva goes through. What all the stages the jivaha goes through? Jivaha, the individual self, goes through from the stage of the fetus, garbha. Garbhad arabhya janana pariyantam. Okay, what all the stages the jiva goes through? It is also present. Then the second chapter also presents how the jiva has the life in the womb. We do not know. Once you are born, you completely forget about your past. What all suffering you had when you were in womb, you do not know. Do not know. Every jiva during the garbha vasa, during the life, during the time the jiva exists in the womb, what all the hardships goes through, we do not know. So the second chapter discusses the life in the womb, the jiva's life in the womb. So that the question may come, we are interested in Brahma Vidya, we are interested in Moksham and Jnanam. Why does Upanishad presents all these things? We are not interested. And Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary says, see, only if we know the facts which we do not know, then we will really discover dispassion. How will we have dispassion? Vairagyam is not, it's very difficult to have vairagyam. For moksha, jnanameva sadhanam. Knowledge is required for moksha, you all know very well. I don't need to repeat it. But for jnanam, definitely dispassion, the total commitment to jnanam is possible only if there is vairagyam. I want this, I also want this. Means there is no total commitment. They're divided, isn't it? Therefore, the total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible only if there is vairagyam towards everything else in the world. And vairagyam, you cannot buy vairagyam. Vairagyam has to, one has to discover vairagyam. For the vairagyam, in dispassion has to really flower naturally because of maturity. Dispassion is not something to be afraid of, frightened at. It is a beautiful, it's an expression of the maturity. And for which you should really know the limitations and the hardships, the difficulties involved in life. The limitations of everything here. So only when you really understand what all the hardships the jiva has to go through, even from, and even before the birth, not only after birth, what all we go through, we know. In young age, what we go through, as in childhood, what we go through, and afterwards, as growing, you know, in the middle age, what we go through, and later on, old age, what all we see others going through, we know. But even before the birth itself, there is also, before the birth, even while living in mother's womb, even garbha vase api, what all the difficulties we go through, hardship, no, that we do not know. We know that definitely it is possible for one to, not all the people, at least some, you know, some people, if they're ready, then definitely they can discover dispassion. So, vairagya praptyartham, vairagya siddhyartham, in fact, it is also discussed in the second chapter. I'm just briefing today. We'll see each mantra later on. Then what about the third chapter? The third chapter of Aitreya Upanishad is beautiful again because it is in this chapter the one of the four Mahavakyams. The Mahavakyam Prajnanam Brahma. is presented. Again, I have told you many times, we have to remember this fact, Mahavakyams are so many. Every Upanishad consists of so many Mahavakyams. Mahavakyani, Anekani, Bahuni, so many are there. But still from each Upanishad, always we say Tattvamasi from Chandogyam, belonging to Samaveda. Aham Brahmasmi from Brihadaranyakam. Similarly, I am Atma Brahma from Mandukya Upanishad of Atharvana Veda. So also, now we have the, from Rig Veda, we have this Aitreya Upanishad and Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam is Tvampada Arthaha. Brahman is Tatpada Arthaha. So Prajnanam Brahma. Consciousness is the absolute limitless reality, impaired by the term Brahman. There is no truth other than consciousness. Prajnanam Brahma. This is the Mahavakyam. This Mahavakyam is discussed in the third chapter. You all know very well, Mahavakyam itself is a vakyam. Jiva Ishvara Yoho, Jiva Ishvara Yoho, Aikya Advaita Abheda Pratipadaka Vakyam. Mahavakyam reveals the identity between the individual and the total. So the entire chapter is, the third chapter is focusing on the revelation of the identity between the individual and the total. This is the third chapter. So we are going to see in detail the following classes. And here, like you all know, because you have studied many Upanishads already, every Veda has its own Shanti, Shanti Pataha. And you all know very well, the Shanti Pataha is always for the removal of obstacles. I don't want to go into details of the importance of the Shanti Pataha, because you know very well. Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika, Tapatraya, Nivaranartham, Shanti Pataha. You know that very well. Now, for removal of obstacles in the form of one's own physical illness or mental worries, or the obstacles in the form of leakage in the room, lack of water, no hot water, not proper flushing, lots of problems. Mosquitoes and cockroaches, you see lots of problems. They're all Adi Bhautika. Now, Adi Daivika, you know, obstacles in the form of caused by natural calamities. Anyway, the sources of obstacles are only three. That is why we say three times Shanti. Obstacles are so many, but the obstacles arise from only three different sources. That is why we so easily we say Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika, Tapatraya, Nivaranartham. Shanti Pataha. So we explained very well before Taittiriya Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad. So I don't want to go again, do it again. We have to complete the Upanishad within this time available here. So here also we have Shanti Mantra. Let us chant once. But because all of you don't have the book today, let me chant one, just listen to me and try to say. That's a good, you know, because without books, just listen and say. Let us see how you say. The chant, the chant mataha today, so it is also for our, you know, vigna nivaranartham. So let us start with that. And tomorrow, we'll try to give you the mantra tomorrow definitely. Day after, we'll all get this book. Books. I already ordered for the books. Tomorrow also you may get it. Om
Vang me manase pratishthita.
Vang me manase pratishthita.
Vang me manase pratishthita.
Vang me manase pratishthita.
Mano me vache pratishthitam.
Mano me vache pratishthitam.
Aviravirma edhi.
Aviravirma edhi.
Vedasyama.
Vedasyama.
Ani isthaha.
Ani isthaha.
Shrutam me ma prahasihi.
Shrutam me ma prahasihi.
Anena dhitena.
Anena dhitena.
Aho ratran.
Aho ratran.
Sandadhami.
Sandadhami.
Ritam vadishyami.
Ritam vadishyami.
Satyam vadishyami.
Satyam vadishyami.
Tanmam avato.
Tanmam avato.
Tad vaktaram avato.
Tad vaktaram avato.
Avato mam.
Avato mam.
Avato vaktaram.
Avato vaktaram.
Avato vaktaram. Taram.
I'm not following the swaram properly here because you all don't have the book. I'm just reading it out. Tomorrow when you get the book, I'll teach you with the proper swaram, the proper thing. Okay, because you don't have the books now. I have to spit also. Okay? We'll do the correct swarams, correct wordings tomorrow. Just say the first line. Om.
Om.
Vang.
Vang.
Me.
Me.
Manasi.
Manasi.
Pratishthita.
Pratishthita.
Vang.
Vang.
Me.
Me.
Manasi.
Manasi.
Pratishthita.
Pratishthita.
Vang.
Vang.
Me.
Me.
Manasi.
Manasi.
Pratishthita.
Pratishthita.
Second sentence. Mano.
Mano.
Me.
Me.
Vachi.
Vachi.
Pratishthitam.
Pratishthitam.
Mano.
Mano.
Me.
Me.
Vachi.
Vachi.
Pratishthitam.
Pratishthitam.
Again, another important thing. Any mantra, when we begin to chant, we never begin without the pranava. Pranava. Purvaka, pranava purvaka mantra uccharanam nasti. Without uttering the pranava shabda, omkaraha, we never begin any mantra. So here also, we begin this mantra also with om. And you all know the meaning of omkaraha very well because most of you have studied Mandukya Upanishad, so I don't need to explain much. You know this Omkaraha, sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. So that is why it's called Omkara itself is an auspicious utterance. The mantra chant, mantra pataha, mantra patanam, Upanishad patanam, any patanam, any learning begins with Omkaraha. And here, there is this Shanti mantra is also prayer. And what do we pray for? According any chanti mantra, there is a prayer. Prayer means it's not simply asking for something, but seriously, desperately begging is prayer. Which means you need to have it. You cannot be without it. That's what you pray for. That's the difference between simply asking and praying. So here the prayer is for the protection of two important organs, mind and speech. Manaha, walk. Walk. Because sandhi becomes vang. So walk. Speech and mind. Protection of speech and mind. A protected mind. What is the protected mind? What is the protected speech? The mind is protected. The mind is absolutely protected, which is the mind which is a fearless mind. Mind which is free from the fear, the phenomenon called fear. Absolutely free from fear. The mind which is free from fear of death is the mind which is absolutely free from the very phenomenon called fear. Bhaya rahita manaha is what? Protected mind. Absolutely protected mind. So here we pray for the protection of the mind. And also protection of the speech. This is also relative protection. One has to protect the mind relatively in order to have it protected absolutely. Which means, how can you protect? There must be having the mind which is clear, the clear mind, the doubt-free mind, confusion-free mind, fearless mind is absolutely protected mind. The absolute protection is possible only in jnanam. Unless and until the knowledge of the truth takes place in the mind is not absolutely protected mind. It is the knowledge is knowledge that protects the mind absolutely. So living a life of dharma protects the mind relatively, and knowledge protects the mind absolutely. There is no other way of protecting. If you want relative protection, live dharma. If you want absolute protection, have jnanam. No other way. That is why the one who has protected his mind is called jnani, a wise person. Wise person is called dhiraha. I explained this meaning of this word dhiraha when I did Mundaka Upanishad. The wise person is called dhiraha. Why? Because he has protected his mind. The one who has got his mind protected is the dhiraha. How has he protected? With knowledge. There is knowledge. If there is knowledge of the truth, there is no second reality. If there is no second reality, there is no fear. There is no second reality, there is no second thing also. There is no dvaitam, there is no duality, there is no second reality, there is no second vastu, there is no second thing for the wise person. In whose vision, in whose clear perception, there is no second reality. There is no second thing other than the truth. And such a person is the one who has got the vision of the truth, is said to be dhiraha, the bravest, the most courageous person. One who is completely free from fear. Which means, because he has got his mind protected. The very word dhiraha says, dhihi, buddhihi, intellect, the mind. Dhiyam rati, rati means protects. Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Therefore, protection of the mind, if you want to say, the fearless mind is the bravest, the most courageous mind, and that mind is what actually protected mind. If there is fear, if there is anxiety, if there is confusion, then the mind is unprotected mind. And a protected mind is the healthiest mind. Protected mind is the strongest mind. Unprotected mind is the weak, unhealthy, sick, weak mind. What is it which will protect the mind? Jnanam. It is the knowledge. And for this absolute protection of mind, in terms of the attainment of knowledge of the truth, what we need is the protection of the mind, relative sense. The mind has to be protected relatively. How can you protect your mind relatively? Only by living a life of dharma. Living one's life in conformity with the values. So living a life in conformity with the values means what? A thought, word and deed must be in alignment. So what you think, what you speak, what you do must be in alignment, identical. This is called Rujita Arjavam. That Rujita alone really determines your commitment to dharma. Which means there must be clarity in mind, there must be clarity in expression of words, expression of one's thoughts. Your first prayer is, so simple extra things I said, I'll do the actual mantra also. Vak me manasi pratishthita. Vak. May walk. May my words. May my speech. May my organ of speech. May my speech. May my words be in conformity with my thinking. May my speech be identical with my thoughts. May walk manasi pratishthita. So here the walk is a feminine gender word. Walk. Manasi is in locative case, manasi. Now we have this verb, the pratishthita, the participle. We hear it used as a simple verb. It implies, may my expression be clear. May my words be clear. May my words be true. It implies my speech should not be a lie. My speech should be the truth. Should be expression of honesty, sincerity and truthfulness. May my words be non-hurting and useful. And may my words be relevant and necessary. So this also implies what? May unnecessary, irrelevant, unwanted, words not be uttered. That's implied. Which means what I am speaking, I am aware of. What all the words are consciously uttered, because the clear expression of the clear thinking. So clarity in communication is very important. Even simple day-to-day conversations, there must be clear expression. And not only that, the Vedanta students must be try to learn to be very clear in their expressions. Why? Because even for you to express what you have understood and to have your doubts cleared also, there must be clarity of speech. So clarity in speech, this dependent on clarity of thinking. So we pray for the clear mind, confusion free mind, doubt free mind, thereby we also pray for clear expression. So we'll see the actual mantra. We'll begin from tomorrow. Because you don't have the book today, just I want to introduce this today, that's all. We will start tomorrow from the first word, Vangme Manasi. Onward we'll start, because tomorrow I'll give you the text. So you can follow the text with the transliteration, you can follow the text. Okay? So even this evening, we have satsang here. We'll again come back. And if you have any doubts in Panchadashi or in today whatever I said, only what you have heard in this class, this today, now, and also in the previous sessions, if you have any doubts, we'll clarify. And if any of you can sing bhajans, you can sing bhajans also. Okay? Let us go from this class praying for protection of our mind and speech. Vang me manasi pratishthita mano me vachi pratishthitam. So very beautiful lines. All the time keep chanting it, because tomorrow I'll teach you with proper swarams. Today if you don't have the book, so just I chant it once. Just I want to start today. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.